woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. Just to let folks know, next week we are going to be going on vacation, and we're going to have a Gloria Allred interview is going to be repeated. I also want to do a shout out to her that at the National Organization for Women's Conference here in San Jose, they awarded her with a Life Achievement Award. So congratulations, Gloria. Also, this morning I have two special guests with me, and they're both going to be joining me on the phone. Joining me on the phone will be the president of Unite Here 2850, the East Bay Hospitality Workers Union. Her name is Wei Ling Huber, and she's going to be talking about some of the issues around what's happening with the hospitality workers, particularly those here in Santa Rosa, California at the Hyatt Regency facility. Also on the phone, joining me on the phone, and I'm so excited about this, is none other than Aaron Brockovich. I remember when I saw the movie about Aaron Brockovich with Julia Roberts, and I can't believe I will be talking with her on the phone. Aaron is an American legal clerk and environmental activist who, in spite of her lack of formal education in law, was instrumental in building a case against the Pacific Gas and Electric Company of California in 1993, and she's joining us here in Sonoma County for the fight that we're having around some of the issues with PG&E and the recent fires that we had in October. It's really hard to believe that the fires were in October. So I'm really looking forward to that interview. I think it's going to be very informative. And also just to hear where she got all her confidence. I mean, here she tacked on, you know, she attacked such a big corporation and was able to come out ahead and help many, many people. So I'm looking forward to that interview. Well, I have a little bone to pick this morning. I'm a little bit frustrated. But before I tell you what my frustrations are, I'm going to ask people to do three things. And I will remind you at the end of my little monologue I'm going to do. The first thing I want you to do is I don't know how many people are out there listening. If there's just one listener out there, I'm happy. But I know there's more than one of you. And what I would really appreciate is going on to my Facebook page and becoming a fan. Very important. Let me know that you're out there. Let me know that I'm not alone while I'm on the air. That's the first thing. The second thing that I would like you to do, which is very, very important, particularly in today's world, is you've got to support your local community media. You must. And here at KBBF 89.1 FM, we are a community radio station. And all the community radio stations out there need to be supported. But I think it's very important that you support KBBF. Go on to kbbf.org and you'll see a little sign, and there's like where how you can become a donor. You can donate. You can become a sustainer. But at the very least, become a member. Very important. Very important to become a member. And the third thing is, after I do my little monologue as what is bugging me, I want you to find out what supervisorial area that you're in. What is your district? Like, for example, I'm in James Gore District, which is district number 4. So what you need to do is find out your district and call your supervisor and mention what you heard on the air today. So this is what my little beef is. And I'm going to read something that I actually is from a column I wrote in the snippets, the Sonoma County Gazette in their snippets. This is kind of an excerpt from that. So here we go. Really, Sonoma County Board of Supervisors, you are cutting staff funding for the Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women at a time when women's productive rights are in jeopardy. And there is there's a big effort now to finally ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. I couldn't believe it. We have a female majority on the Board of Supervisors, and they're cutting, they're eliminating staff for the Commission on the Status of Women. That is totally unacceptable to me. And like I said, I would like you to find out what district you live in and call your supervisor and say, hey, you've got to find a way to continue to support this particular commission. You know, another thing that's happening, by the way, a good example of what's happening right now on the federal level, we have our president who's going to be appointing a new Supreme Court justice, and the buzz on the street is that they hope to get rid of Roe versus Wade. And I don't know how many times I have said this on the air. This is not about abortion. This is about choice. That we have, as women, we have choices over our own body, and we can determine whether or not we want to become a mother, a parent. Very important, but also choice, also the choice to get birth control, also the choice to go in and have mammograms and all the different things that certain organizations handle. And one of the biggest organizations that they're going after, of course, is Planned Parenthood. So the idea of cutting back the staff and not giving them support is just, I mean, I can't believe it's even happening. And in addition, the Board of Supervisors is cutting the staff funding for the Sonoma County Human Rights Commission at a time when the United States has pulled out of the United Nations Human Rights Council. And as Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Hale said, she called it the Human Rights Commission that was developed by our own Eleanor Roosevelt. She called it a mockery of human rights because they're allowing China, among other countries, to join. And for a statement, one statement that scrutinizes Israel's treatment of the Palestinian people. We know that's very, very interesting, because the whole point of the human rights is support these inequities that are happening to people. You know, it's not even taking a side. It's just saying human rights violation and giving warnings to the country. And just because we are criticizing another country for what they're doing to other people doesn't mean that it's right or it's wrong. That's the purpose. The purpose is to oversee, to look, to make sure that all people on the planet's human rights are protected. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. Really. And I believe by cutting the staff, they actually are kind of, they're degrading it, actually. They're putting it down. They're making it like it's not important. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's not going to be there at all. You know, it's almost like not having a staff person is like a setup for failure. So it's very important that we pay attention to these things. You know, there was a letter to the editor, and she talked about the silent majority. You know, I remember when I was at Los Angeles City College in 1970, I took a class, an English class, with Mr. Lingville was his name. And I remember there was a big deal about the silent majority. Only the silent majority at that time, what they were talking about, was the people who were not, we mean, silent about what was going on with the Vietnam War. And then little by little, I mean, the country just came apart. I mean, there was so much protesting and so much disagreement about that war. But there's another silent majority out there, and that's the people that don't vote, the people that don't say anything. And there's a great song that I mention frequently on my show by a woman by the name of Ellen Booksdale. It's called "By My Silence I Give My Consent." When you're quiet and you don't speak out against some of these injustices, well, you're saying it's okay. If you don't vote, you're saying, oh, yeah, you know, we'll go along with whatever happens, you know, that old saying, oh, whatever, you know, whatever happens. I mean, that is not the way you run a democratic society. Each person has to be involved. So it's very important. And the cutting of these two commissions in our own county, my fear is it's going to be like a pattern. Like if we don't do something in this community, many, many other communities are going to be affected. You know, it's amazing to me. You know, I look at the Board of Supervisors and I think, wow, a female majority, and they're cutting the status on the Commission on the Status of Women. I mean, that was a hard battle to get that commission going. And then the Human Rights Commission. I mean, come on. not only do they serve as the place to advise the supervisors what's going on in the community, they also provide a venue for folks to come and to speak and to express their concerns. I know I was on the Human Rights Commission, and at first nobody came. And then all of a sudden we start shifting officers and we start putting the word out that we're here, and then all of a sudden we saw all kinds of people coming. So it's very, very important that you pay attention to this. So again, I'm going to ask folks to do three things. The first thing, go on my Facebook, Women's Spaces, and become a fan. This way I know people are out there. It gives me more and more confidence to continue with the show. The second thing is go on kbbf.org and donate. Please donate. If you don't want to donate, become a member, become a sustainer. There's all kinds of ways you can become involved. Community radio right now is more important than it's ever been. I mean, we've got some great shows. I mean, where else in the United States do you have a program, a station like this? You can have English-speaking shows, Spanish-speaking shows, Indigenous-speaking shows. You have shows like mine in English. You have Tom Hartman. You know, you have Democracy Now!, all kinds of great shows on here. But, you know, you got to support the station. Or just like these human rights commissions, once they take away the staffing, they could be gone. Well, if we don't have the funds to this community radio, we're not going to be able to stay on the air. And I'm becoming more and more adamant about that. We've got to do our part. I know lots of you give to stations that are in the Bay Area. Start considering a little portion of that money that you're giving to give to KBBF. And why am I saying this? Because I want to make sure that our community radio stays on the air. I mean, you know, folks, we're living in some very, very interesting times. Well, we're going to take a musical break now. And the song that I'm playing is called Standing on the Shoulders, you know, and it's a program, it's a song about, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of many, many, hold on, are we having a little trouble here? Are we on? Okay. The reason I chose this song is because we have to realize as women, we are standing on the shoulders of many, many women that came before us. You know, we look at the newsrooms today, the women all over the place, women executives. I mean, here in Sonoma County, we have tons of women executives, tons of women that are running programs. This was not possible before the women that came before us, that struggled, that went to jail, that put their lives on the line so we could vote, so we could have a position at the table. So it's very, very important that we continue to support women and the women's movement and recognize how we got here and also recognize how quickly it can be taken away from us. So quickly. You know, and we have fought a long time to get where we are. So ladies, just pay attention and pay attention to this song. And when we come back, I'm really excited. I'm going to be talking to a woman by the name of Mylai Herber. She's the president of Unite here, Local 2850. And we are going to talk also about some of the stuff that's going on here in the in Santa Rosa, California, also in the East Bay. So let's go ahead and take our musical break. Here we go, Standing on the Shoulders, sung by Earth Mama.
I am standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before me. I am stronger for their courage. I am wiser for their words. I am lifted by their longing for a fair and brighter future. I am grateful for their vision, for their toiling on this earth. We are standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before us. They are saints and they are humans. They are angels, they are friends. We can see beyond the struggles and the troubles and the challenge, when we know that by our efforts things will be better in the end. By their passion for our liberty, I will stand a little taller, I will work a little longer, and my shoulders will be there to hold the ones who follow me.
As I listened to that song, all of a sudden I had these fantasies of some of the wonderful women that are here in Northern California. Just Molly McGregor, just alone, who was one of the co-founders of the National Women's History Project. You know, before they even done that, there was no, women had a minimum of history in the textbook. I mean, that's why Molly McGregor started the Women's History Project, because she was a high school teacher and couldn't find hardly any information on women and the whole women's movement. So it's really important to understand that. And also, I want to add one thing before I continue on with the show, and that's around the Junior Rights Human Rights Commission and the Commission on the Status of Women. Both of these commissions have actually junior commissions, where they're helping young people learn about human rights, learn about the women's movement, and contribute to their community. I want to encourage you to go on nowsonoma.org. That's the National Organization for Women's website. That's nowsonoma.org. And if you look at their, July newsletter, I have a president's column, and it explains everything that's happening with these two commissions and also gives you a little bit of background exactly what the commissions do. So go on to nowsonoma.org and look at the newsletter. Anyway, for you folks just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest on the line with me, Wei-Ling Huber, who is the president of Local Here, number 2850. Welcome, Wei-Ling. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. It's it's great to be here.
Well, you know, this was really short notice, and I really appreciate that you were able to come on. So before we start, I would like to tell my my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Wei-Ling Huber is a lifelong activist for justice who has worked to improve and expand economic opportunities for Alameda, Contra Costa, and Sonoma County workers since 1995 through her work with Unite Here 2850, the East Bay Hospitality Workers Union. She's been president of the organization since 2006 and general vice president of her international union since 2014. Well, welcome. I really want to welcome you. And is there anything else that you'd like to add to your bio here?
No. That sounds...
You know, you're going to have to speak up a little bit.
No, that's fine. Thanks for the introduction.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, let's start. You know, there's always a curiosity since this is a women's program, you know. How did you get involved in union work? And also talk about, you know, some of the challenges that you had as a woman and what are some of the challenges you're facing now?
Well, I got involved when I was a student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the 80s and early 90s, and we were at the time fighting to win an ethnic studies program at our university, doing actions and petitioning to the chancellor, and eventually we won, and I actually became the first person to major in ethnic studies at that university. And part of my senior thesis was interviewing organizers and leaders in different communities of color that had, you know, were part of movements, right? Studying movements of color. And I interviewed about a half a dozen women of color who are organizing in different industries, in janitorial and hotels, including your own Alicia Sanchez, who at the time in a previous life was a hotel worker organizer up in Sonoma. And she was one of the people I interviewed. And I was just so inspired by the stories that I heard of how communities of color come together. And I was, one of them really urged me that if I wanted to organize immigrant women of color, that the place to do that was in the labor movement, because there was just some of the best work going on empowering people who would otherwise be powerless to do so.
What were some of your challenges as a woman at that time?
Well, you know, I started in the labor movement in my mid-20s and was, still to this day, I think I negotiate about 45 different employers, 50 employers, and I can list on one hand the number of women negotiators that I've had to work with. And I remember, especially in the early years, the employer representatives would call me kiddo or, you know, be pretty disrespectful and not take me seriously. And so that I would definitely call that a challenge.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. Here we are in 2018, and we thought we made all kinds of strides, and here you have this horrible thing happening with Maxine Waters and all the insults. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
Talk about a little bit what's happening here in our local area in the Hyatt Regency and to their workers. I know that they had negotiated a contract, but yet at the same time, it feels like they're kind of holding back. So why don't you talk about it? I know there's going to be on Friday the 13th from 1:30 to 3, there's going to be a gathering of protest. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the workers there have called for a protest. They've been trying to win their first union contract for almost a year now. They won recognition in August of last year. And, they really organized because they felt that the working conditions and the wages and the benefits that they were being offered were insufficient. It's very interesting when you look at the Sonoma County hotel industry versus the Alameda County or San Francisco County. The room rates are very high in Sonoma and in Napa, for that matter. But yet the wages and the benefits are low or non-existent. Housekeepers make, just above minimum wage at the Hyatt Santa Rosa, and many of the other hotels are the same. The workload is really backbreaking at the Hyatt Santa Rosa. Workers are asked to clean 15 to 17 credits per day And in some cases, two rooms equals one credit. So the employer says, they claim that you can clean a stayover room in, 15 minutes or less. And so they assign the housekeepers to clean, as many as 34 rooms per day. And can you imagine, cleaning 34 bathrooms a day?
When you said that, all of a sudden I start thinking of my own bathroom.
Exactly.
All of a sudden what it's like just to clean that. That is just amazing. So it sounds like they're fighting for a more livable wage, and also to look at their work life. I know my father was a union man, and he reminded me about what happened with the unions. Before that, people worked 14, 16 hours a day, for pittance. And it wasn't until the union came in that they had some credibility, some respect, some acknowledgement that they actually have value. And it sounds like it's the same thing that's happening with the hospitality workers, that they want to be seen as people who have value, who are contributing. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And, in contrast, Alameda County, San Francisco County, Santa Clara County, the hotel workers are highly unionized, and they make anywhere from $5 to $10 more per hour. They have full benefits for themselves and their families, medical benefits, retirement benefits. They have fair workloads. Instead of 34 rooms a day, they're cleaning 14 rooms a day. And, it's a very different environment. And, workers in Sonoma County deserve the same. They're certainly, the profit margins are the same. The owners are the same. The, management companies that run these hotels are the same. And so there's no reason why Sonoma County hospitality workers shouldn't be treated better.
But also, one of the things, because I have the background with my father was a union man and talked so much about the issues and the struggles. I remember a few times actually when they went on strike, they just had the Supreme Court decision. And one of the things I was thinking to remind people, they should be rebelling. Everyone should join the union, because if you don't have a union, you don't have any protection. My father used to say, I never met a boss who wanted to give me a raise without a struggle. So
yeah.
It's really important. Well, talk. There's another thing going on here. It looks like 150 women from all over America and Canada are going to be attending a labor conference at SSU. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Summer Institute for Union Women is taking place. I think it's at least 200 women are gathering to learn leadership development skills. For leadership in the union movement, capacity building, really coming together to talk about how do we as women build a more powerful labor movement and advance working women's issues within it.
Well, what do you think are one or two of the main issues that women have just a little bit different than say their counterpart, the men?
Certainly inequity in pay, advancement. Challenges with advancement, for pregnant women, for moms, it's a much bigger problem than I think many of us realize. And there are, safety issues, right? It's interesting, in a hotel, that housekeeping is the most dangerous job because of the repetitive stress. And I think there's something about, the disrespect for women's bodies that leads to that.
Amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment. Would you like to share with your website and also share how people can support your actions here in Sonoma County and across, and also in your other counties that you're working with?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is unitehere2850.org. We also have a Facebook page where we often announce our next actions, also unitehere2850. If folks, it would be great if people can join us at the action, at the protest at the Hyatt Santa Rosa at 170 Railroad Street, Santa Rosa on Friday at 1:30. Or if they can't, they can call the general manager of the hotel, John McAuliffe, at 707-284-1234 and tell him to settle a fair contract with the workers.
Well, that's a lot. So let's give that website one more time.
UniteHere2850.org.
Any last words before we say goodbye?
No, we appreciate the support that we've gotten from the community in Sonoma County for hotel workers, and we're moving. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for all the work that you do, and just know that Women's Spaces is here. I want to do a shout-out to Marty Bennett out there for alerting KBBF here of what's going on in our community, and I want to thank you for coming on to Women's Spaces at such short notice.
Thank you for your show. Thank you.
And much success in what you're achieving.
Same to you. Take care.
Boy, I'll tell you, women are on the move. We have to be on the move. I mean, you know, our children are the future. You know, we're the ones who bring the children in. We're the ones who worry about it. I mean, it's just so interesting that it's so hard. It's so hard for us to get accomplished things that are right and fair. And I want to do, again, a shout-out to Wei-Ling Huber, who's the president of Unite here, Local 2850, for all the wonderful work she's doing. Well, time for another musical break. And I love this one. I love this song. It's called It's Political by Shannon LaBrie. And let me tell you something. It really is political. And when we return, I will be talking on the phone with Erin Brockovich, who's an American legal clerk and environmental activist who, despite her lack of formal education in the law, was instrumental in building a case against the Pacific Gas and Electric Company of California in 1993. And she's joining the fight here in Sonoma County around the fires and looking like there might be a PG&E lawsuit going on. So anyway, let's go ahead and let's listen to It's Political, sung by Shannon LaBrie.
You must believe it, we're invisible.
Yes, it's political. I love when you talk to people and they say, oh, we don't talk about politics. Oh, no, we don't talk about religion. Two things that influence our lives more than anything, and they say, no, we don't talk about it. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest on the air, Erin Brockovich. Welcome, Erin. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'll tell you, I am so excited. You know, when I found out that I was going to be able to interview you, all I could think about was the Julia Roberts movie, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, I'm actually interviewing Erin Brockovich. Well, welcome.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be spending some time with you.
Well, listen, before we begin, I want to tell my listeners just a little bit about you, if that's okay.
Of course.
Erin Brockovich is an American legal clerk, and what I think is so interesting is that you did not have a formal education in law, but yet you were able to take on one of the largest corporations, and that is Pacific Gas and Electric, in 1993, and now you are joining the fight in Sonoma County around the fires and PG&E responsibilities. And what I found out through doing background on you, that you uncovered documents that ultimately led to more than 600 residents of Hinckley, California, filing a lawsuit against the giant PG&E. And you end up getting a $330 million settlement, which was one of the largest settlements in the history of the United States. And then also, you know, you're able to write a book, and then also Julia Roberts, that wonderful performance she did, and the movie was just so inspiring. So welcome once again. Would you like to add anything else?
Oh, there's so much I could be adding. We could be on the radio and talking all day long. I wouldn't even know where to begin. But with what you opened up about being a legal researcher and you know, taking this company on and not having any formal training, I mean, there is a point that I really want to bring up that I think that so many people understand and why they don't speak up and speak out, because there's this idea that if you don't fit in this box, and I learned this in Hinckley because I was told by people that work for PG&E, you're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer, you're not a scientist, what do you know? Well, wait a minute, let's start right there. I don't have to be any of that to be a human being, B, to tell you I see that something is wrong, and use my common sense, my observation, and a set of innate skills that we all have to begin to figure something out. So the minute you put me in that box, not meaning you, but them, or when I'm out working in the field, that's where I wake up. And I think this is a moment where we are all waking up and going, hey, wait a minute, I don't have to be any of those definitions that you want me to be, a doctor, a lawyer, a scientist, or fit nice and neatly in your box, to be a human, to have a voice, to say I see something wrong, and to speak up.
Well, you know, speaking up, it's so interesting. One of the observations I have, for example, on talk shows, more men call than women. Letters to the editor, although I have to say this morning's letter to the editors was packed with women with their opinion. But generally speaking, it's usually men that are writing in or are holding on to the pulpit. What do you think? Where did you get your courage? I mean, all of a sudden, yes, you saw something was wrong. You knew that you had to speak out. You knew that maybe people would, you know, hold this against you, like you said, all the different titles that they have, the expectations of someone who's going to challenge it. How did you overcome that? Where did you get your confidence, and where did you get your ability to actually stand up and say and do what you needed to do?
Well, you know, my family. My sister said, you know, I've been pretty bossy, carrying encyclopedias around and demanding that I'll answer the phone since I was the age of two. So I think some of it is just within me. Also, I'm a dyslexic. And I learned very early on, I felt different. I knew I was different. And because I was perceived as different, I was suddenly labeled and judged and put into a category over here. And I began to fight back against that at a very young age. None of us like to be labeled and judged.
Well, you know what that
reminds me? I was
I wanted to just say something about the dyslexia. You know, I was cross-eyed, and I was actually left-handed, and they forced me to go right-handed. And that was when the first time that I realized they're trying to make me different than I really am. And that's when kind of the fights kind of start. But some of us kind of cave in. And I often wonder, what is
it? Well, we do. To that pressure. And my mom and dad helped me through that. My mother taught me the power of stick-to-itiveness, which is an amazing word as definition noun, propensity to follow through in a determined manner, dogged persistence born of obligation and stubbornness. She helped me realize that just because I was different didn't mean I was inferior. She kept that self-esteem that we all need of who we believe we are and how we perceive and feel about ourselves intact. And it was my mom and my father who taught me so much about how to get through these struggles and the value of what was really important in all of our lives. And that helped me through my journey immensely, even today, and I'm 58 years old today, to hear my mother's voice, Aaron, find that stick-to-itiveness. Just because you're different doesn't mean you're inferior. You have to trust in those instincts in yourself and speak up and speak out.
Well, you know,
and so I will give a lot of it to my mom and my dad.
Well, it's also interesting when you talk about self-esteem. On Women's Spaces, we have a pledge, and it's my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power, however you define higher power. And that sounds...
I call that... And I agree with you. I call that my RAM. And RAM is about realizing, assessing, and motivation of oneself. We often think somebody's going to come around and fix it and save it for us. But it begins within us. And that's the truth.
Well, thank you for validating that, because it's so important. And I mean, and you're an example of that. And women need more and more examples. So let's get into today's world. So what brings you to Sonoma County? What brings you to Northern California?
Well, obviously your fires. And I had family up here in the military. And my daughter was stuck up here. You know, we were watching fire maps in the news and just going, oh, my gosh. I mean, a firestorm, it's frightening for all of us. I can't imagine what went on with all of you here in it. And every time there is a natural disaster, often people will email me. People did start emailing me from the communities. And every time that it happens to be PG&E is somehow involved, it's just an automatic reach out. And so I do a lot of consulting with many different firms, and from a legal perspective, political perspective, whenever there's a disaster, this is going to come into play. And I came up, and I've been working in and out and around the communities, and will continue to come back because I can feel there's that moment of, you know, don't say anything, don't speak out, don't speak up. They're being guilted or feeling bad. That voice is getting suppressed, and working with them in speaking up.
Well,
and so, in a nutshell, that's why I'm up here.
Well, what's so interesting, you know, I've been looking at some of the reports from CAL FIRE, and they actually concluded in Santa Rosa. Of course, they haven't got the information yet on the Tubbs Fire, which was the fire that our area was actually involved in. But they're saying that there was some negligence by PG&E. Can you talk a little bit about that? Can you talk about that now?
Well, yeah, I mean, they have concluded everyone but the Tubbs Fire, and yes, PG&E has got negligence in this. And, you know, they've just recently announced that they're looking at potential liability between up to $15 billion.
Oh my God.
And, they are definitely doing something right now that I've been working with steadily, for the past month in getting everyone educated on. And that is a legislation that they are trying to pass through now that people are unaware of that would make all future fires, even if PG&E is held responsible or negligent in starting those fires, that they get a pass and they don't have to pay for it. But we the people of California, will. And it just incenses me. This is a company that I have dealt with since 1991 that has a very strong corporate pattern. And that is deny, deny, take no accountability, no responsibility. They have an antiquated system. They don't take any of the billions of dollars that they earn and put it back into their company to make it a safe company. And this is a chronic pattern of behavior that needs to stop with them. They run a huge monopoly in this state. We give them that privilege, and they have regulations to follow, safety procedures to follow. They just want to nickel and dime you at every single corner, take no accountability, no responsibility, and it's just become enough. And we can't allow not only this type of behavior to continue, but here in the future to give them a pass. You know, we need to remember something. 44 people were killed here. Thousands of people lost their homes. An investigation has concluded their hand in it. We need to hold them responsible for it. Not pass secret legislation to let you off the hook or go looking for monies from the state or anywhere else to pay for your mistake. When you earn billions, you give $1 billion a year to your shareholders. Your CEO after the fire's got a $12 million bonus, and you spend countless tens of millions of dollars in trying to fight back and convince the community that PG&E is the victim and they're supposed to feel bad.
Well, you know,
it raises me.
You know, Aaron, this you've kind of hit a nerve with me because this is one of my frustrations. You know, especially you'll go to a board of supervisors, you go to the city council. You know, you have elected these people to serve you, to take care of you, and yet I'm listening to you saying that there's legislation that they're trying to pass to give them a pass so if there's future fires and they're negligent, they don't have to pay for it. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, who's running the show?
And I ask the same question. Where are our leaders, our politicians, our legislators? Hey, guys, way to take the states back and to help the people of California when they need it most. And look, you know, we spent just this morning letting the community know there was some people from city council out of the Sonoma area there. They're available. And oftentimes we don't realize or think that we can get involved in politics. You opened up your show with that, and I think it's really very important. Yes, we can, and you need to be. Mostly it's city council legislation. We the people, we have to show up before they'll even recognize, oh, hey, maybe there's a problem out there. And that's starting to happen right now. I think that we're in this moment where we're waking up to that. And our politicians, in many instances, and in this particular instance, if this type of legislation passes and they allow it, they are completely derelict in their representation of the people of the state of California. It would be awful.
Well, but I'd like
to ask the same question you are. Where are they?
Well, also, you know, it was so interesting. Our last election, we almost had a chance to elect a new sheriff, but we only had 26% out of 100% of voters show up, and I was just stunned. And people say, well, I don't vote because my vote doesn't count. I say, that's right. You didn't vote. Your vote doesn't count. And you know, in a democracy, the minimum we can do is vote and to pay attention because, like these legislators, they, even though you're not voting for them, once they get in, they're still making decisions for you, and you have to recognize that. That's why we need to pay attention. Well, Aaron, we're kind of coming to the end of our segment here, and I'm glad you appreciate the song. That song I played by, it's called It's Political, and I think, and I, it's really interesting that people say, well, we don't talk about politics, we don't talk about religion. And I say, wait a minute. That's the two things that are that's influencing your life more than anything is the politicians and also your religious leaders. So what would you like to add? Anything that you want to share with the folks that you think is important that they should know? Any last thoughts?
Well, everything that we've been talking about and what you just said, it is the lack of that conversation and the idea that we're not supposed to have that conversation that is becoming a large part of our issues that we all do care about. So I think it's time for us as the everyday people to recognize the power that we have to vote, to get involved, and to speak up and be a part of that discussion.
So important, so important. Well, one last thing I want to ask you. I know you had a wonderful coffee event this morning. I'm sorry that we couldn't make it. We were so busy preparing for the show in the morning. But how was the reception, and what were some of the questions that people were really concerned about?
The reception was excellent, and, you know, they're on the same page and vein of everything you and I just discussed. They don't want to feel guilty anymore. They want to become more involved and aware. And a lot of their concerns were PG&E will go bankrupt. No, they're not going to go bankrupt. A lot of it was they were startled and stunned and had no idea that this type of legislation was going on behind their backs. And you know what? They became very activated.
I bet.
There was a lot of sorrow, a lot of fear, a lot of frustration, but a lot of it is time for us to speak out and to rise up. I think they're going to.
Well, I'll tell you, the movie was inspiring, but talking to you, I would have to say times 10, much more inspiring. It's just absolutely wonderful. Can you give us your website, how people can keep up with you and get in touch with you if they'd like?
Well, you know, I have a very active public Facebook page. You can just go look up, you know, Erin Brockovich, and you'll see Consumer Advocate, where we keep a lot of news and information out there about environmental issues and water issues, not only in California, but across the entire United States. I'm getting ready to release my fourth book, which is The Truth of America's Water Supply, which is a very good read, which even has a mention in there about PG&E and the hexavalent chromium and scientific fraud that we were able to uncover. And so, you know, it gets to be an unfair fight, but the more we know, the more we can push back as well. So my public Facebook page, and then my website, if people can email me, and it's real easy. It's Erin@Brockovich.com.
Erin@Brockovich.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, Erin, Women's Spaces is dedicated to ordinary women doing extraordinary things, and I think that you definitely fit the picture. I mean, you're not really an ordinary woman, but what I mean is you're somebody that saw something was wrong, and you stood up, and you made noise, and you were able to change things. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do, and thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and I want to do a special...
Thank you for your time.
I want to do a special shout out to that lovely woman I know is sitting next to you in the car, Noreen Evans, for organizing this. She's one of my mentors. I mean, I just love her.
She sure is.
So thank you
She's
so much, Noreen.
She's an amazing woman.
Yes, she definitely is. And so thank you so much. Any last words before we say goodbye?
You know, just the power of believing in yourself and stepping out of your own comfort zone and being a part of the issues that affect you and us all. Speak up, speak out, be brave.
Speak up, speak out, be brave. Thank you so much, Erin Brockovich, and wishing you much success with all that you're doing for the folks here in our county.
You as well. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much. Oh,
bye-bye.
Wow, what an interview. Well, you know, I think we got a few minutes here. I want to play the can we play the rest of that? We're going to play the rest of the song because, God darn, it is political. So we got about, we're going to play just a little bit more. Just pay attention to the song. You know, it is political. Everything is political. So here, you got it on there, Ken?
I'll play the first 2 minutes.
We're going to play the first 2 minutes here.
It's so ridiculous and cynical.
Oh, boy, it's political. Thank you so much for those two wonderful interviews. Well, that's it for our show. A special thank you to Wei Ling Herver, the president of Unite here, Local 2850. And thank you so much for tuning us in and letting us know what's going on in Sonoma County with some of the union fights that are happening. And a special, special shout out to Aaron Brockovich, an American legal clerk and environmental activist. Boy, that was so inspiring. It's just amazing to me, the women that are involved. I mean, I have to give these two women, the ordinary women, just ordinary women doing some marvelous things. Well, a reminder, tell your friends that Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm so excited. I get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements. And if you have any birthdays, anniversaries, you'd like to have a shout-out on the air, please email me at elaine@womensspaces.com. And remember, you know, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. You know, it's so important when you think about it. And also, a reminder, you need to support your community radio stations here in Sonoma County. It is very, very important that we support one another. I mean, the airways, look at what we brought on the air today. Aaron Brockovich and these two people, amazing. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your